Brent Balika brought out some of his house-made cheeses, which were
good.
Fantastic.
All right, so before
we
get in the show, I just want to
overall, it was a good meal.
It was a good meal. I want to let everybody know that next Sunday, we are going to be live from Carmine's on 7th Street in D.C.
We are.
That's our first live remote. We'll have an audience there that will be there for brunch and for fun.
And you can be there, too. It's going to be a kicking party.
If you visit Carmine's D.C., you can get all the information, and you'll enjoy brunch, and you'll be part of the show.
So. And actually, I'm going to do a Twitter contest this week. We have four seats available.
Free tickets.
They're going to serve Bloody Marys and mimosas and brunch. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, so let's talk about the show.
Okay.
Today we've got author and farmer Sally Fallon and raw milk activist Liz Reitzig in the studio. They're in to talk about a range of farming and healthy eating issues, but some of them are very controversial, including a new movement to legalize raw milk.
I'm really excited about this conversation.
Right from the udder, right?
To getting into it. It's going to be cool. It's going to be a very cool conversation. Now, serious foodies, listen up. Two old friends are back on our show, but they've never been in together. We have Jill Richman and Nick Wiseman. They are in to talk about this exclusive new dining society called Coterie. I like that word. It sounds so French.
Whatever the heck it means.
Anyway, so we're going to be talking to them all about it and how you can get in on it. And as you know, if you've listened to the show before, we are really into all things Italian.
We are Italophiles.
Well, David more than me, he speaks Italian. I don't speak any Italian. But I do enjoy
Pretty
it.
Good, huh?
Andy speaks Italian
it
food.
Works. All right.
So we figured what better way to kick off 2012 but with wines from Italy. And with us today is Theo Rutherford from Fiola DC. Theo, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Fiola opened just in the spring, and already it's one of the hottest restaurants in the city. Fabio Trabocchi is the chef.
Yeah, I have to say, we were there having dinner a couple of, probably 2-3 months ago. And
you were there with me in June.
Whenever it was, it seems like, you know, my age, what the hell. But Tom Sietema was in there it looked like he was just having a meal. It wasn't like he was working. So it's really, I mean, the place has taken off like a rocket.
Yeah, he was there with Justin Rhode. I think he was working. But
you never know.
Maybe not.
But we did have a terrific meal. And of course, we've been there. Well, I've been there since. David doesn't get out as much as I do.
Well, somebody's got to keep the kids from dying.
Well, since he likes burgers, he can always come for lunch. We do have a good one there. So
well, except I will say that I was just there on Tuesday. Yeah. And I had that chicken dish for lunch. I don't know what he does to that chicken. That is amazing. Have you had it?
Absolutely. You and everybody else in the city, it seems like.
Okay.
Everybody loves it.
It's so good. It must be like bathed in butter. It's just delicious.
Probably.
Okay. So, Theo, let's just get a quick 411. Yeah. I met you originally when you were at Ripple.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
But how did you get into the wine biz?
A lot of it by happenstance.
Okay.
I actually helped open Sonoma on Capitol Hill when I was 18. And so that was, they had, 48 wines by the glass. I knew nothing about wine except that one was red, one was white, and one had bubbles.
That's all you need to know, man.
You know what? That works.
Really? Did you think there was more to it than that?
I thought they were all the same.
Yeah.
So obviously learned pretty quickly that they weren't and figured out I had a knack for it. Went to Florence to study dance and fell back into the wine business.
Florence, Italy?
Florence, Italy. That's right.
Oh, I lived
what
there
kind
for
of
2 years.
What
were you
wonderful.
There?
I was there in, what was it, 2006?
Oh, this is, isn't it amazing?
I'm surprised I came back, but that's all right.
Me too.
And then, what kind of dance? I studied everything from ballet to modern to African, and I was actually the career path before kind of wine called me again. So it was fun. But yeah, going over to Italy and actually seeing the wines there and the wineries and how it was all made, and it literally, that was it, solidified it.
Epiphany.
Yeah, it was.
Well,
one of those,
can I just? Can you moonwalk? That's the question.
Can I?
Well,
not in cowboy boots, okay. But yeah, never know.
That's an important question. All right, so tell us what's going on. Like, how did you work with the wine program at Fiola?
It wasn't hard. Working with his food, it makes my job a lot easier.
Okay.
Pairing with great food is you can kind of put anything up to it, and it's already going to be great. But one of the things I really like doing about wine, one of the things that I really enjoy about it is that I like having other people have those eureka moments and have something that they can relate to and something that makes them go, wow. So while I do have a lot of things that people recognize on the list, I have a lot of things that you might not either. And I want the list to be something that can be explored and explored in a fun way instead of just, okay, we're going to have this Barolo tonight because we know the name. It's,
right.
You know, what are these wines that I've never heard of?
And how much is most of the list Italian?
About 70% of it.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can still come in and get your great California cab if you want, but most people assume
why would you?
An Italian restaurant.
Right.
Yeah. Might as well drink a tie. So,
okay. So what are you going to pour us first?
I've got a little Prosecco since it is Sunday. Why not start with some bubbles on a Sunday?
That's it's what I always say.
And, you know, bubbles are always better. It's fine.
Absolutely.
That's why I drink soap.
To each his own. It all works out.
And what's the Prosecco? What kind are you pouring?
The Prosecco is Zardetto. And the reason that I bring that is you can actually get it in pretty much every liquor store and grocery store, but it's a great value wine, and it also is just delicious.
Okay. Well, you get to pouring.
Absolutely.
And then we'll come back to you in a little bit.
Sounds perfect.
So I'm really excited about this segment. Got milk. I think everybody knows that catchphrase. Mm-hmm. We hear it all the time, and it does a body good. But most of us have been drinking it since we were babies. But there is a huge debate raging about access to milk the way it used to be, which is raw. So in with us today is Sally Fallon, author of the celebrated book Nourishing Traditions. She has a long list of things that she does. She's a farmer. She's a cheesemaker.
She's a
chef.
Renaissance woman.
She is an owner of a brand new shop that sells artisan cheeses and other products. The farm is called P.A. Bowen Farmstead. Sally, we're so thrilled to have you in today. So before we get into all the raw milk issues, you've been a proponent for many years of healthier eating.
That's right.
So specifically through pasture-raised animals. So just tell us a little bit about how it all got started.
Well, it all got started years ago when I read a book called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration by Weston Price and founded the Weston A. Price Foundation. And at the same time, I published my book, Nourishing Traditions. And I feel almost trapped by the movement now. It's something I can't get out of. But it has really grown. The message that we have is to get back to real traditional foods and foods raised the way they should be on pasture and not in confinement, and animals eating the foods that they are designed to eat, not bakery waste and potato chips and soybeans and so forth, and corn. And so the farm is something new to me and my husband, and it's been a dream of ours for many, many years to actually put all this into practice. We have one of two or three pilot raw cheese permits in Maryland.
Okay.
So this is, I'm hoping this is the beginning of a thaw with the Maryland officials.
Well, can you explain what that means? Because when somebody, let's say you go into Whole Foods.
Yes.
And you see a wide array of cheeses. Yes. How many are raw? How many aren't? How does that, how does that work? I know they can't import raw cheeses.
Yes, raw cheese is legal to sell anywhere. Raw means it hasn't been heated to more than about 100 degrees.
Okay.
It's unpasteurized. And the aficionados of cheese prefer raw cheese because you get so many more complex flavors. We like the raw cheese because it's healthier. You haven't destroyed any of the enzymes.
Okay.
Everything is there that started there.
Let's jump in. Pasteurization was started to basically extend the shelf life of milk, right, and cheese, and also, isn't that right, and for shipping and all of that, so that it was safer to drink longer.
I don't think that's true, because the shelf life of raw milk is 2 weeks. It's just as long as pasteurized
milk. So why did they start pasteurizing?
Well, it's very interesting. Information has emerged that the first pasteurization laws were in New York in about 1910, and the reason they chose pasteurization was just more convenient. They said it's going to cost the city less if we just have all of this pasteurized and the pasteurizers can tell us that they pasteurized it, and then we won't have to be going out and testing milk, which we don't have money for. So that was the real reason it got started. It was had nothing to do with health, because in those days they recognized that raw milk was perfectly healthy and safe, but that pasteurization was just going to be easier and less expensive for them to administer. And now we've created this monster where most of the milk is not just pasteurized, it's ultra-pasteurized.
And what does that mean?
That means it's heated over the boiling point. And you've got a substance that's completely dead. You can't make cheese from ultra-pasteurized milk. And that's another way of saying you can't digest it, because cheese is a digestion process.
Well, that's why, I mean, one of the big terms right now, probiotics. I mean, are you getting your probiotics?
Right.
You know, it's in every vitamin. It's all you hear right now for health, especially for women. So is that being taken out of our dairy products?
Absolutely. It's a completely dead product. And also all of the components that support the growth of healthy bacteria in the gut, they're destroyed as well. If we go back to raw milk has bifidus factor and many other things that get that good bacteria going. And, mm-hmm. and that's, we're now finding that is so important. And raw cheese, if I may say so, there is no product that has a more diverse microflora,
okay.
Beneficial microflora than raw cheese.
Well, then, I mean, since you make them.
Since I make them.
Well, what's the downside? Is there a downside to raw milk and raw cheese?
There is a downside to unaged soft cheeses, and these can be problematic whether raw or pasteurized. Now, we had 7 deaths in Europe a few years ago from pasteurized raw soft cheese. So the soft unaged cheeses you have to be very careful about. I think they can be done both ways, but you do need to be careful. But there's no downside from raw milk. It is a very safe product. We've got the numbers showing how safe it is. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's safe is because raw milk contains a number of components that kill pathogens. And it also, raw milk builds the immune system. It's designed to build the immune system. All of these components are destroyed by pasteurization.
Okay, well, let's bring in Liz.
Yeah, Liz Reitzig is actually somebody that we met at our farmer's market.
How apropos.
And she's a mom, and she's a raw milk activist. And, what, you've got 5 kids, right?
I've got 5 little ones, yes.
Busy girl.
Raw milk-fed kids.
And we're going to go to a commercial in about a minute, but just quickly, what sort of intro you and why you became a raw milk activist?
Well, it really started because of my children. And when my first one was about 1.5 years, she had some really serious digestive issues. And when my husband and I, you know, we took her to doctors and they couldn't tell us why or how to fix it. And then some friends and relatives started talking about raw milk to us. And we found Sally's book and just devoured the information in that and several other books about raw milk and decided to try that. Mm-hmm. And we haven't looked back. It's been wonderful.
And fixed your tummy?
Totally, completely fixed.
Huh. Well, okay, we have to take a quick break. But when we get back, I want to talk about sort of, you know, this path you've taken, this activist role that you've taken on now in getting raw milk for your family. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. I see bubbles in my future, and I'm actually going to be drinking some raw milk as well. We're going to find out. We'll be back in just a sec.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me. Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Hey, you're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we've got farmer and author Sally Fallon in with us, and mom and milk activist Liz Reitzig in, and we're talking about raw milk, which is basically milk right from the udder. And which used to be the way people drank their milk until about the early 1900s when pasteurization started and it became a whole
other ballgame.
A whole thing, a whole other ballgame.
All right, so Liz, I want to hear about the Raw Milk Freedom Riders? What are they? What are you doing? Why is this such a big deal?
Okay, it takes a little bit of background.
Okay.
In many of the states, raw milk has varying degrees of legality where people, farmers, can sell it. Mm-hmm. And in Maryland, it's completely prohibited to sell, including cow shares, which is an arrangement similar to a timeshare. It's kind of a cross between a timeshare and horse boarding.
Okay.
So the idea is people co-own a cow and then get the milk from their own cow. And mm-hmm. that's prohibited in Maryland as well. And because of that, there's buying clubs that have formed, and we contract with farmers in other states, specifically mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. And this happens all over the country where the laws are prohibit access to fresh milk. And the FDA doesn't like this very much because mm-hmm. their worldview is that nobody should drink raw milk for any reason ever.
And why? Why do they feel that way?
Well,
because they've sanctioned pasteurization, right? Yeah. And it's just
basically
the way to go now.
Yeah.
They're running on 40-year-old science is basically the reason.
But I would just think in this I mean, Sally, clearly you've been on the forefront of this. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, for somebody like me, and even more so for my husband, I mean, the last 10 years has been a real change in the food scene. I mean, more and more restaurants are doing local sourcing. More and more chefs are working with their local farmers to bring in a quality product, pasture-raised meats, cage, you know, not just cage-free chickens, but pasture-raised chickens, letting them eat, you know, grubs and stuff on the ground and getting eggs and all of that. I mean, I think more of us are bringing that into our lives. So is the government just behind?
Well, they're behind. They're working on 40-year-old science. And, you know, this is huge revenue for the states that have a food culture. Liz and I figured out that Maryland is probably losing about $100 million a year in economic benefits by prohibiting milk because, as Liz can tell you, these food clubs are not only bringing in milk, but where you buy your milk, you buy your meat and your eggs. And so
it's like almost like a CSA. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's not quite like a CSA because we don't pay any money beforehand.
Okay.
But it is like a private buying group. And, you know, we're busy moms. We're not going to go to 10 different farms to get our eggs and milk and chicken and cow, bacon. You know, we're just going to get it as much as possible. We're going to do our one-stop shopping at the farm that we get our milk from. So that's what's happening with the economic angle.
Okay. Well, I don't know why it should surprise anybody that the government doesn't get it. That's the same FDA that declared pizza a vegetable, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, you know, the tomato sauce on a pizza.
I think the FDA declared that. That wasn't the FDA.
Who was it?
Maybe the USDA.
I think it was the USDA.
USDA is about meat.
No. Yeah, these agencies don't even accept the new paradigm about the healthy bacteria. Mm-hmm. For them, there's no such thing as good bacteria. So they're way behind.
Okay, but now, Liz, you had told me some really interesting information the other day that, like, these farmers are under attack.
Right. So what's happening is because the FDA has this worldview that nobody should drink raw milk for any reason ever, they use their position and impose armed force on the farmers that do provide it. So what they're doing is they're spending millions of dollars on undercover operations.
But these farmers aren't selling it like in markets. They're just selling
Not
it
at all.
Person to person, right?
Directly, yep.
Okay.
Person to person in buying groups, sometimes cow shares. Mm-hmm. And the FDA or the state ag departments or state health departments will conduct undercover sting operations on these farms, armed raids. The farmer that I buy from, he's had armed federal marshals on his farm at 5 o'clock in the morning. And the buying group that I'm a part of, the FDA has spent countless dollars of, you know, taxpayer dollars on conducting a 2-year undercover sting operation on our buying club to prove that this farmer is indeed transporting raw milk across
state
lines.
This is the same government that knows that cigarettes cause lung cancer, but allows that to happen. But you can't drink milk out of a cow.
Sounds like the Wild West almost.
I know, it is. It's crazy.
Right?
But you know what? There are big milk, you know, agro milk, you know, dairies that, you know, it's to their
money.
Benefit.
I mean, at
it's
the end
money.
Of the day, it's all about money, right?
That's really what it comes down to. They're the ones lobbying for, you know, this is bad and we're all going to die like everybody before 1900 died.
Well, but what it comes down to is our government agency spending our money to protect the interests of only a select group of Americans.
So what is the next step? What can the layperson do? I mean, first of all, I want to taste raw milk. So let's pour some of that.
Okay.
We're breaking the law.
Well, first, you
got to
shake it up because the raw is also. Yeah.
You know, the police station's right across the street. But we're in D.C. Is it illegal
in D.C.?
No, I think it's very important to stress there is no law against purchasing, consuming, or possessing raw milk. The only law is against selling it in some states.
Really? And in the, transporting it across and then, state lines.
And then there's this...
Like what you just did.
Yes, right.
Yes, what I proudly do.
Okay.
You know, it just tastes very rich, but it doesn't taste, you know, I expected it to taste foreign almost. Because it's...
No, I mean, it tastes like a really cold, good glass of milk. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Yeah.
That's what it is. That's real milk.
No cookies? What's the matter with you?
No, but I see cheese, which I think will go really good with my Prosecco, actually. Okay, so what is the next step, though? What is it that the layperson can do to get involved in this movement and get access? Because your children need it, right, Liz?
Right, and same with, you know, millions of mothers across the country. Like, we're so many of us are getting this because our children thrive on it.
Mm-hmm. So how do we get the government's ears? What are you doing to change it?
Part of what I'm working on is the project of the Raw Milk Freedom Riders, and that specifically targets the ban on interstate transportation of raw milk. So as a mom, if I drive to Pennsylvania, buy a gallon of raw milk, bring it back, feed it to my kids, I'm a criminal.
Okay.
Now, the FDA said they don't intend to prosecute individuals who are taking it across state lines solely for their own personal consumption. But so that means if I go and I get some for my neighbor and I bring it back for her, I'm a criminal. Or if we hire somebody to do that transportation for us.
Right.
And so we're really targeting this one specific regulation and we're calling for a policy change on it. Either revoke, you know, completely revoke that regulation, or there is a bill in Congress right now that if it passes, it just nullifies that regulation.
Okay. Well, now, who are the legislators that sponsored that bill?
Well, it's co-sponsored by many right now. I don't recall all of them. It's Ron Paul, Shelley Pingree from Maine, and several others. One from Michigan, Texas, I think,
California.
I mean,
that sounds right up Ron Paul's alley. I mean, he wants government out of everything, so that does make sense.
If he can remember it.
It also makes a lot of sense to not create more criminals for transporting raw milk across state lines.
Right, of course. I mean, absolutely.
Or... you know, authorize the FDA to spend millions of dollars investigating farmers. And
well, I mean, you know, for milk. I mean,
for
that's
milk,
what's
right,
insane.
Right.
And,
well,
you know, I want to stress the lack of compassion on the part of the government here, because their children really need this milk. It helps with asthma. It helps with digestive problems. It promotes really good growth, freedom from cavities. And there's just this kind of hard-hearted attitude towards mothers like Liz, who would do anything to get this wonderful food for their children.
It's just fascinating. I mean, you know, you think when you're going the next step, you know, of knowing like the farm, where you're getting your milk from and all that, and then learning that really there's nothing in it. You're not providing anything for your child in it. It's really
interesting. All right, well, let's talk about how our listeners can get more information on this. Where do they go to get, you know, kind of the, you'll pardon
informed.
This, the raw data? And also how to you know, join the group if they want.
Well, we have an overriding website called realmilk.com. Now, Liz, do you have a website or Facebook page? Or
the Raw Milk Freedom Riders, yeah. It's rawmilkfreedomriders.com.
Okay.
And that's where you can go to join in that fun activity.
Excellent. All right, but before we say goodbye to the two of you, Sally, we really didn't get into your farm very much and your new market. So can we talk about the new market and what you're selling there?
So I'll give you our website. It's pabowenfarmstead.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we are near the little village of Owasco in southern Maryland where the Speedway used to be.
Okay.
So we want to make...
Sunday at Owasco Speedway.
That's right. And we are... not only do we do cheese, but we do... beef, pork, chicken, eggs, all totally grass-fed and no soy. We don't put any soy in the rations.
Why is that important?
Well, we feel it's important because the estrogenic substances and the allergenic proteins in the soy can end up in the egg yolks and the fat of the meat and the skin of the chicken.
Okay.
And some people are extremely sensitive to this.
The soy.
And they just want to get away from all these estrogens, just like you want to avoid plastic.
Right.
You want to avoid soy-fed meat.
Interesting.
Our store is open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We also have a farm tour on Saturday where you can go and see the pigs and the chickens and everybody, all the good folks out on pasture.
And how many different cheeses are you making now?
We're making a cheddar, a mild cheddar, mm-hmm. and a blue.
I think we really should taste them, don't you?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to...
Don't Bogart that cheese.
I want to say, looking at the cheese sitting here on the cutting board makes me realize how far we've come, because it's definitely been a very high-stress learning process to get to this
cheese.
Point. Yes, and getting everything set up and so forth.
So why did you pick... Is blue a really hard cheese to make? I mean, did you pick a hard
blue
cheese?
Blue is hard to make. In fact, about 2 months of our blue, our lucky pigs got that blue because it just didn't turn out well. So it's definitely been a learning process. I wanted to do a cheddar.
They all
because,
went to their reward smiling.
Yes, right. Everybody loves cheddar. And in fact, it's our most popular item in the store is the cheddar.
Excellent. All right. Well, ladies, just one more time. Let's give everybody your website so people can find out more information on both Raw Milk and the farm.
For the Raw Milk Freedom Riders, it's rawmilkfreedomriders.com.
Clever.
Excellent.
And for raw milk in general, with a lot of good science, it's realmilk.com. And then for our farm and the store, it's P as in Paul, stands for Philander, P A Bowen Farmstead.com.
Excellent. All right, ladies, thank you both so much for joining us today and for bringing all this wonderful stuff. That was really educational. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We are going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to be drinking Italian wines and talking about a dining society. So stay tuned.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Soldiers returning with traumatic brain injuries or other serious battle wounds often spend weeks or months in a VA hospital or other rehab facility. DVDs for Vets is collecting DVDs and portable players for distribution in our community and nationwide. Many of us take for granted our access to everyday enjoyments, and DVDs for Vets needs your help in giving these injured soldiers some diversions from the monotony of a hospital stay during recovery. To donate new or used DVDs or to learn more about this worthy cause, please go to www.dvdsforvets.org.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We got Theo Rutherford from Fiola.
Hello.
Everybody's favorite Italian restaurant. And now that I've sort of bottomed out here on my Prosecco, what else will we be talking about?
Well, we've got a Valpolicella here from Allegherini, which is one of my favorite producers. They do some awesome stuff, including some little weird stuff that we can talk about as well. And then we have a Barolo to go with the blue cheese. Why not?
Oh, my God, I love Barolo.
Come in, no.
Okay, yeah, so exactly. But let's talk about, you guys are starting a new program, the Vino Veritas?
Yeah, the Vino Veritas
program.
Tell us about
it.
So it's basically a half-price bottle happy hour, essentially. So from 5 to 7 throughout the month of January and maybe even further. We'll see how it works. Some selected bottles that I decide to choose, you get half off. And so it's some of our more high-end things that, you know, the price tag might not be as easily swallowed as some people might like. So we're making them accessible.
You know what's interesting? Half off is one of my favorite wines.
It's perfect.
It would have been funny if you said that without screwing up.
Beautifully.
That's easy for me to say.
So it's a fun wine. And it's just sort of our way of, I'm having a little bit of fun in January. I know in restaurants, January can be a little slow. And we still want people to come out and have fun when, even though, you know, it's not, you're not celebrating anything anymore, it's just actually enjoying food. So right now, we're also doing a Bianchetto program, which you get to buy white truffles at cost, and we can shave them over any dish you want. which is kind of fun.
So that do sounds a table terrible.
Side. It's awful. I know.
Right?
So do that with a half-price bottle of Barolo at the bar. How can you get better than that?
I don't know.
It's called Italian torture.
I know where I'm going with that. All right. So what are you going to pour first?
I'll do the Valpolicella first, since it is going to be a little bit lighter. So
okay. Perfect.
Dump we'll pour or drink them, I guess.
Well, while you're doing that, we're going to greet two old friends of the show. Mm-hmm. Not old, but old friends of the show. Jill Richmond and Nick Wiseman. You know, Jill was here with the Number 68 Project, which was a great kind of pop-up restaurant, salon sort of a concept that was
Why don't you
fabulous.
Let her explain it?
I will. And Nick's back for the bagels.
Yeah. So, he's back well, he's doing research. He's got a new project. Right. He's got to do his research.
Right.
No, I feel like we met Nick maybe a year ago, and now you've been in a lot.
The third time, though.
And we don't even invite him. He just shows up at the door and says, are the bagels still here?
No, Jill, let's refresh everybody. Before we get into Coterie and how you guys came up with this new dining society, let's refresh everybody's memory about the project.
Yeah, I mean, Number 68 Project really was, it was a pop-up restaurant, but essentially what we did is we teamed up with 9 different partner chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And Rossian Agency, and basically said, look, if we were to curate an incredible dinner party that was sort of TED-like in style,
right,
what would it be? And how would we be able to
when
sort
you
of...
say TED-like?
Like
you
TED.
Mean like TED?
Like TED Talks.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
A very good friend of ours just joined
took
that
over
operation.
TED.
Yeah, she just joined it. That's so
all
funny.
Right. And so we had a lot of... We actually had a lot of speakers who have been on various sort of TED circuits. So, mm-hmm. you know, we had Eric Weiner who came and gave a... and led the discussion on his book, The Geography of Bliss. But more importantly, we had chefs that were basically cooking to theme every mm-hmm. single week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little bit like a black box experience. People sort of came in. They thought they were getting kind of an innovation test kitchen. When they ended up getting was a full multi-sensory experience. And what happened was we knew that this was a temporary installation of sorts. And we said, look, there's demand for what we're doing here. How do we take this program and turn this into a year experience for people who want what we did at Number 68 Project,
mm-hmm.
but actually might want to become a member and see this in potentially other cities.
Mm-hmm.
So we turned Number 68 Project effectively into a membership called The Coterie.
Okay. And so how does Nick fit into this?
Nick fit into this. I met Joe working on Number 68 Project,
mm-hmm.
And sort of together we hatched the idea of making the program more lasting. I mean,
okay.
it was 9 one-off events.
Mm-hmm.
And what we saw is not only the chefs really rallied behind us, but there was a serious contingent of diners in D.C. who wanted experiences that went beyond traditional
well,
fine dining.
Well, everyone sold out, correct?
Yeah.
And you had that fantastic article in the New York Times.
We did.
Which didn't hurt.
It didn't hurt. It just,
we don't turn it away. But so I guess that's the question. So now, what is it about this new concept? Because dining clubs, you know, in the 70s and 80s were really prolific. I mean,
but they were more all about food, I think, weren't they? I mean,
they were more about food.
They were.
And less about conversation.
Right. And leisure suits.
That's right. More about
leisure
suits.
And leisure suits.
Right.
So what programs will we get there?
So we've built in the Coterie as a membership as it stands. It's basically you pay to be a member and you have access to our site, which enables you to make a reservation to our partner restaurants who are cooking entirely off menu for our members. So 5-course tastings available Monday through Thursday, exclusively Coterie tasting style experiences.
Cool. Right.
They're billed, and so when they arrive at the restaurant, it's a prepaid reservation. They dine, they leave. It's a white glove service, effectively.
Wow.
Yeah. The second and the third part are we'll be running monthly salons at Fathom Gallery like we did. So
mm-hmm.
the next one is January
27th. Which is an incredible space.
It's great space.
It really is. It's
yeah,
very cool.
We are really lucky. It's great space.
Mm-hmm.
So the next salon we're doing is with Dr. Ogiagas, author of A Billion Wicked Thoughts. So once a month we'll be doing these.
I've had most of them. I'm having them right now.
It's a good Sunday morning. So it's
right.
So we'll be doing that January 22nd. And once a month, on the third Sunday a month, we'll be running these salons. They're fireside chats, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
We'll bring in one author. We have one mixologist. They'll be doing 3 drinks. And Frederick Depew will be doing all of our food.
Okay.
And they're kind
show.
Of... Mm-hmm. You've had him on the show, yeah, and
yeah.
it's going to be a small, kind of a 2-hour experience.
Mm-hmm.
There, and 3 of those are available to our members, and otherwise you can book that a la carte on our website.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll be running salon dinners quarterly, like Number 68 Project, but once a
so
quarter.
So is that like a just a bigger deal with...
It's a big deal. We'll have 3 or 4 like guest chefs. We did one December 11th on Hemingway, so
mm-hmm.
we had... we had a number of chefs that came in and mixologists that were there, and we told the entire story of Hemingway in the 1920s.
How much fun.
Over 9 courses. It was great. It was epic. it was epic.
I've died in the afternoon. I want to. It's an interesting list of restaurant partner chefs that have signed on, including, of course, Fabio Trabocchi at Fiola.
That's right.
The top of the list. But you've got Peter Smith and Nick Stefanelli and Ed Witt and Frederick Depue, who are, you know, it's more fine dining. But also Kyle Bailey at Birch and Barley, yeah, which is fine dining comfort
differently
food.
I mean, that's a right, totally different way of eating.
Yep. His food's awesome.
His food is incredible.
So it's a really interesting mix. This is a
but
great
so
idea.
What when you go into the restaurant mm-hmm. Monday through Thursday for mm-hmm. dinner, mm-hmm. when you make your reservation, you call and you say I'm with the coterie.
You actually give them book a heads it on up? The you book it on the website.
Okay.
You make the reservation, it bills your account immediately.
Mm-hmm. You this can, is like the Uber car.
Right.
It's
like, it is.
Don't
it
you
is.
Think?
It is. I mean, a lot, it's funny that you say that because you're not the first person to say. It's a lot like well, the kind of white glove service that Uber provides.
Right. But I think that provides people so much relief. Like, there's no like, okay, am I supposed to be tip or what am I supposed to do here? Like, yep, it's all done. And that takes, I think that takes a load off people's shoulders when they're doing something like this. Because yep, I think all of us in here dine out enough and know that sometimes, you know, if a chef sends out something for you or you get to taste some wine that maybe, you know, you just don't know what you're supposed to be paying all the time. And I think just to have it just taken off for you, it's a flat fee,
yep,
is so nice.
Yeah.
Yep. So how does one become a member?
So our website has gone live. We're beta for the month of January. And mm-hmm. then in February, it is fully available. You can visit our site at www.thecoteriedc.com.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And you walk yourself right through the sign up. And you can actually make a payment immediately to become a member. Mm-hmm. Immediately, you'll go through a series of questions like number 68.
Okay.
And effectively, soon, our site will allow you to interact with a number of the Coterie members.
Well, let's
online
talk about the questions, because the questions for number 68 were not
funky.
Just, what do you like to eat, dude?
I mean, I hope so.
They were tricky. It was almost like an SAT.
I know. We're asking the same kinds of questions.
Well, give
because
me some
why?
Examples.
Because I think part of what we do is that, you know, there were people at Number 68 Project who said there was something about being there that allowed me to meet people that I never expected I was going to meet. And it mm-hmm. sort of primes you for, like, the type of people you're about to meet.
But you talk about some of the questions, because the listeners are not going to know what we're talking about.
I mean, they're Proustian questions. What's your idea of earthly happiness? You know, who are your favorite heroes and heroines of fiction? I mean, all of these questions that they seem a little esoteric and silly.
If you haven't read Proust, you better get on it, young. Drop the Sunday comics.
Drop the Sunday comics
right
now.
Pick up Marcel Proust right away.
So, I mean, our branding's about ideas, discovery, and food. And part of what we're doing is we're trying to get people ready for good discussion and to meet really interesting, prolific people. So, I you know.
Well, we did a project. I mean, we went for a dinner and we met really cool people.
People that we're still in touch with.
That's great.
Absolutely.
That's great.
And it is a very different kind of crowd. It's not that typical foodie crowd that you see at a lot of the other food events. So what's the long-term goal? What are you hoping for? How many members do you want? How exclusive is it?
Well, we're hoping to roll out, we're rolling out just in D.C. right now.
Okay.
Capping membership at 500 people. So it's pretty small. Mm-hmm. And then the long-term goals are to see this, you know, exist in other cities.
Right.
I mean, I think the concept would be different. I think D.C. this has sort of the feel of D.C.
Well, I got to be honest with you. Not a lot of cities have this sort of, especially among chefs and people in the food community, you know, this communal kind of feel.
Camaraderie.
I think they really gets along nicely.
And the chefs really rallied behind the concept. I mean, I think for them, D.C. has been traditionally a pretty conservative place to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they see this as an opportunity to really cook off the menu and cook what they want to cook by their own rules.
Well, mm-hmm. let's ask the nitty-gritty. What does a membership cost and what roughly will the meals cost?
It's $42 a month for membership. The meals will cost $135, but that's inclusive of tax and gratuity. That's
and wine?
5 courses and 2 drink pairings.
Okay.
With the exception of Birch and Barley, which is all paired.
All paired. Yeah. Right.
And then
it's all beers.
and then that also, that
well, 40, don't say that condescending, like.
That $42 a month also will get you access to 3 of these monthly cocktail events.
Okay.
And then it gets you discounts to our quarterly salon dinners.
So the cocktail events are included in the membership?
Yes.
Yep, it's the fireside chats. Yep.
And then once you.
It's better than a health club.
Yeah, I think so.
And this way you'll die happy. You won't right. die sweating like an animal.
That comes from somebody who does not work out. Okay. Isn't that fascinating?
Oh, I work out. Look at me.
It's another one.
You're the picture of fit.
Right, the picture of health and fitness. And so once you open these up in other cities, then is it a national membership?
Effectively, your membership will allow you to use the Coterie experience in all of the cities that you go to.
And where, it's like a timeshare.
It is very cool. Good. So now, where are you hoping? Like, if D.C. is as successful as you hope, where would be the next city?
Philadelphia and Chicago are going to be the next cities.
Good. Well, we can help you out.
Both places we go, and Philly.
Right.
Yeah.
My whole family's in Philly.
That's right.
Your family's
in the restaurant business.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia.
How'd you have the idea? Were you just sitting around one day and go, and you're trying to figure out how the number 68 project could be extended into something else? And
I mean, it was, do we do this? Is this bricks and mortar space? I mean, I guess the question was, do I turn this into bricks and mortar space? And you know, the financials don't work.
Yeah.
So it was how to make this financially viable, how to create a platform for chefs who loved what we were doing, and really how to create a sustainable network. Because it was clear there was something that came out of number 68. It was a built network that happened above and beyond what we were doing. And so...
Well, and let me ask, with all these, with all these guilt and rule, like all these other like deal experiences now that they are doing, how would you sell this as differently?
Well, I think a lot of those sites offer sort of one-off events. You know, it's like go, you know, have a dinner with at Michael Mina's new place in Baltimore, but it's going to be one night experience.
It's really
and
good though.
I'm sure it's undoubtedly it's good, but. I think for us, it's about creating sort of a lasting program and an opportunity for people to really
Fabio's place and have my Coterie dinner and go back 2 weeks later. Will it be different? I mean, how often do things change out?
They'll change. I mean, his menu, he'll create menus quarterly. We're asking them to sort of cook to a different theme quarterly. It's sort of their foods of their childhood, the sort of the formative years of their cooking.
So there's like an umbrella.
An umbrella.
I'd like to volunteer. A food of my childhood was peanut butter and jelly.
I would feel the same.
With Ruffles crunched in between.
Okay. I'm going to shut you down.
No.
We're going to take a quick break. But when we get back, we're going to wrap up here with the Coterie. And I see some Barolo.
That's right.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Be inspired at the annual Leukemia Ball presented by Pharma on Saturday, March 28th, 2015. Featuring a fabulous silent auction and a chance to win one of two Mercedes-Benz automobiles, the Leukemia Ball raises funds for life-saving cancer research and patient programs provided by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. With a comedic performance by Jim Gaffigan and music by Michael Cavanaugh, guests will enjoy a night to remember. For sponsorship information or to purchase a raffle ticket, visit www.leukemiaball.org. That's leukemiaball.org.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with Nick Wiseman and Jill Richmond, and we're talking about La Coterie and this new, is it La or The?
La Coterie.
Oh, yes. Hi, Joe. Pishtosh.
But when we were off air, we were talking about sort of this community that you're trying to build, especially online. I mean, what do you, in your dreams of dreams, once you have this magic number of 500 people, I mean, what are you looking, how are you looking for these people to communicate with one another?
Well, I think creating these events that are monthly is really the opportunity for engagement offline. And then online, we're trying to create a platform where people can engage. I mean, currently, it's basically a tailored reservation platform online. All these reservations can be made through the website. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to build out the platform online so that people can really engage with each other. And there's an opportunity to really connect and facilitate these interactions offline.
Okay. Well, the other piece I think is, like, you know, when you go on the site and you go ahead and try and build a profile, you build your profile and your profile is only available to us right now. But effectively, we're going to make that profile visible and you opt in for it. You opt into it and it becomes visible to the other Coterie community members. And so, you know, if you want to go to 701 by yourself or you want to go to Fiola by yourself and you want to know who else in the Coterie is going, you can communicate with other Coterie members.
So it'd be sort of like a link, you know, you've checked
like LinkedIn
into,
or Twitter.
It's like,
I mean,
it's like
a
intellectual
private
fine dining GPS.
Right. Very cool.
See, I'm smart enough to join your stupid society. Hey, I could have been champ.
All right, so please tell everybody where they can find the information just one more time, please.
So it's www.thecoteriedc.com. If you go in, you can see information and you move through information or you can sign up directly on the site. It will prompt you through the entire process. You'll have to pay to continue your membership, obviously. Okay. Otherwise, if you want to view the site, it's visible just to go through information. There's mm-hmm. news, there's content feeds, regular, you know, we have regular contributors who are online who are contributing some really interesting updated news regularly. So the content on the website is also really, really
neat.
Rich.
Okay. And Nick, I'm not going to let you out of here without asking about your other project.
Yes.
So now you're doing a deli?
Jewish delicatessen, yep.
Okay.
Barry Kozlov.
Wait, isn't that an oxymoron? Aren't there?
Yeah.
Is there another kind of delicatessen?
Well, in this area,
I think everyone's. I think delis are lost in soul. Well, I mean, everyone calls everything a deli.
There isn't a good deli in town that I know of.
And the two that opened in Bethesda, the one already closed.
Yeah, Bubby's closed.
Yeah.
I think everyone's trying to do this, old, you know, old kitschy deli with big menus and the overstuffed sandwiches. And we're going to really try to do everything craft, artisanal, and made in house. So
where's it going to be?
DuPont Circle, 1317 Connecticut Avenue.
Will you deliver a schmear?
We'll deliver a schmear.
Are you guys going to make your own bagels?
Mark Furstenberg, who was formerly at Marvelous Mark, will do all our bread, bagels, Bialys.
And when do you open?
We're opening late spring, early summer.
Okay.
Let's say early summer.
Now, I don't make a lot of openings because it's just not my thing, but
you'll be there for this one.
I will be there.
Good.
Well, it's so, I mean, coming from, you know, outside of, I grew up in New Jersey, but real delis are everywhere. And it's a part of your life, whether you're Jewish or not.
Yep.
And it's just such a desert here.
Wait, you're Jewish?
I know, it's not crazy.
my partner and I are both fourth generation Washington Jews, so it's sort of coming full circle for
us. I hate when people say that the Parkway is a good deli.
I know.
It's disgusting.
That's not fair.
It's gross.
We'll take it to another
level. That's the first negative thing you've ever said about any restaurant on this show.
Whoops.
All right. Okay.
Well deserved, though.
All right.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much. Good luck.
Thanks for
having
us.
We're really excited. And I promise if I don't like it, I won't say it on air.
Okay. Yeah, Nick just opened a deli. Okay. All right, Theo, let's go back to you.
This smells. Sure. This is like the most exotic elixir. It smells so good.
Or 04 Barolo will never, ever turn you down.
Why 04? What is it about 04?
04 was just a great year for Barolo.
Okay.
It was, in a lot of ways, kind of a bust everywhere else except for France, but Barolo, just for some reason, it was perfect. And they're drinking really well right now, so that's why I wanted to bring one.
Okay.
Plus, it came from my own cellar, so I wanted to make sure that it was still working the way it should be.
Your cellar at the restaurant or your cellar?
My cellar at home.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Thank you.
See, I get to have a little bit of fun, too.
Absolutely.
But no, they're drinking really well right now, so they're the older Barolos that you can still get some of that rusticity to that you might like in older wines, but you don't have to wait 15, 20 years for it.
Well, also, I think sometimes Barolos have a much bigger heft than this one does. I mean, the smell is incredible, but this doesn't have that heavy flavor on your tongue.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it leaves like a little bit of a residue.
Oh, yeah. Young Barolos
this
can
is very
be
clean.
Aggressive. Mm-hmm. I call them sort of, manly, hairy wines.
I was assaulted by a young Barolo in the backseat of a Buick once.
It was really bad.
I don't like to talk about it.
He's cut off. No more drinking raw milk for him. That's it.
It was the raw milk. The wine, the bubbles, no. They didn't go to his head. It was the raw milk.
All right. So, very quickly, you guys are also doing, Fiola is doing Restaurant Week, which
starts
tomorrow.
Restaurant Week for lunch only.
Lunch only. And what does that mean for those who go in for it?
So, for those that go in for it, if you don't want to do the presto menu at the bar for your $15 with a glass of wine and your chicken as you've done. $20.12 as we always do the gimmick on what year it is. For lunch, prefix menu. You have a couple options. There are also going to be a couple wine specials on there, so a couple discounted glasses, a couple $30 bottles. So if you're looking to at least bring the martini lunch back, but don't want to do the martini and go a little lighter, you can get a couple bottles there.
Very cool.
And then just after Restaurant Week, we're starting a couple other specials for dinner, two regional menus. We're going to start with Tuscany because who doesn't love Tuscany?
So is this a special menu separate from the
a la carte menu? It's a
special menu,
exactly. So mm-hmm. it's a tasting menu. It's a three-course tasting menu plus wine pairing, or four-course, I'm sorry, four-course wine pairing plus plus the wine pairings.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, done by me.
And,
but
and chef will change up the menu.
Yeah, chef will change up the menu. The first 2 weeks are Tuscany. The second 2 weeks are Piedmont.
Fun.
And then we'll try and continue it through there. Maybe go to La Marque since
that's where he's from.
Exactly. Kind of appropriate.
Right.
And just sort of do some things to let people explore Italy without having to pay, you know, the $2,000 for a plane ticket. So,
right. Well, I would really like to go on the plane.
Go on the plane.
I'll
bet you got some frequent flyer miles. You're giving me, man. That'd be so cheap. Come on.
Well, right. Tell everybody where Fiola is and how they can find you online, etc.
Absolutely. So Fiola is on Indiana Avenue. Our address says 601 Penn, but that's because it's the building we're in. But our entrance is at 678 Indiana Avenue. Not too far from the Verizon Center, so come by before a Caps game or after. And the website is fioladc.com.
And, of course, you can be followed on Twitter.
I can be followed on Twitter at TheoVino. Pretty easy. And, yeah, just come by, please. Jeff, our cocktail guy, is unbelievably amazing.
Great.
Obviously having chef's food and then get some good wine at the same time. So,
all right. Thanks
all right.
for joining
Thea,
us.
Thanks Absolutely. So much for joining us
Before
this morning.
We,
we forgot to do shout outs.
Wrap things up. Yeah, I do want to do shout outs to the folks that make the show possible, our great bunch of sponsors. First and foremost, our friends at Georgetown Bagelry. We've been noshing on their bagels all morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fresh killed right out of the oven this morning. Delicious. The folks at Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's Rustico, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery. Actually, the two Rusticos. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yes.
Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, and Church Key, our friends at Founding Farmers and the new Founding Farmers out in Potomac.
Which is gorgeous.
Which is beautiful. And the food's great.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Modus Hotels have Notte Bianchi, Dish, and Circle Bistro restaurants in them, and they're a great sponsor. Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers and Bethesda Central Farm Market. They're still open. They're open all year round. And our newest sponsor, Carmine's, which reminds me that next Sunday, we're coming live to you from Carmine's. You can be part of the studio audience. Go to Carmine's website, or if you can't find information there, go to the list, areyouonit.com. You'll be able to get information. $35 gets you in, gets you an amazing brunch, and gets you our undivided attention.
And I should also say who's going to be there. It's really going to be a parade of chefs. We're really excited. Michelle Richard, who has been in rather frequently, but he's going to come and
he's
join us.
He's got the hots for you, that's why.
I think he's got the hots for you, quite frankly.
Well, who can blame him?
But Michelle Richard is going to be there, as also we have Jeff Black, Scott Trunau, Joan Nathan, and Nick Stefanelli. So it is really an all-star group of people. We're going to open it up to everybody so you can ask questions. It's really going to be a lot of fun. So if you can join us, please do.
Joan Nathan. I'm all for clapped.
Well, but I should say one of the reasons why Joan Nathan and Nick Stefanelli especially are coming in is because in 2 weeks we have one of the biggest charities that happens in D.C. every year. It started with the inauguration of Barack Obama. All these chefs from all around the country come in to do these very expensive dinners to raise money for both Martha's Table and DC Central Kitchen. It's called Sunday Suppers, and now they have also started Saturday Night Sips. Thank you. I wasn't looking at my script. But basically, this is a way to go toe-to-toe with some of the biggest chefs across the country, whether you dine with them or drink with them. And it's a terrific charity, and you should certainly check it out. We have it up on the list. Do you have
the website 2012 sips eventbrite eventbrite.com. It's hard to remember. Go to the list, areyouonit.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not already signed on, it's free to subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Give my wife a break and sign up, for crying out loud. And you'll
we'll be serving pastrami there Saturday sips.
Saturday sips?
Yep. So
cool.
Barry will be there. We'll be slicing pastrami. Your first taste of DGS delicatessen.
What's it called? DGS?
DGS, which is like a throwback to the district grocery stores, turn of the century, mom and pop Jewish grocery stores in D.C.
Do you remember those?
You remember those?
Do you remember them?
I'm not that old.
When were they? Oh my God.